me. I am who I am. I am who I'm gonna be. Walking in the spirit, moment by moment, fulfilling my own destiny. I am me. I am who I am. I am who I'm gonna be. Walking in the spirit, moment by moment, fulfilling my own destiny.
Fulfilling destiny. Yes, we are all hopefully doing that. This is Purpose Talk Radio on Monday, November 24th. I'm Cindy Freeman, and I welcome you to the show. It is a good morning, good afternoon, good evening, wherever you are in this vast world of ours. And thank you for joining us today. Today, our guest will be Patricia Sobchak, and we will be talking about healing through purpose during the holidays. And if you are listening to this live, there's a couple ways that you can participate with us. If you're listening to it archived, believe it or not, you can still participate in the chat. The first way that you can do this is to go to the very bottom of the Purpose Talk Radio page on Blog Talk Radio. And if you scroll down to the bottom, there is a chat room there, which is hopefully open. There are some technical difficulties, unfortunately, with Blog Talk right now and the timer working. But it'll hopefully resolve itself, and we'll see what happens here. So the other way that you can do that is over on Facebook at Purpose Talk Radio Conversations. And over there we have a thread that's started over there and allowing you to put in anything that resonates with you during the conversation today from our interview. Nathan, I apologize. I am going back and forth with Blog Talk Radio. Hopefully, we'll have all of this little bit mess straightened out here. So let's see. It is, like I said, today is November 24th, and here in the United States, shortly we will be celebrating Thanksgiving, a holiday that somehow, you know, around the world gets celebrated, whether it is here in the United States or elsewhere. We hope that everyone finds their way and a time that they can be grateful for being alive, being a part of life, and doing whatever they are meant to be doing. Let's see. The other way that you can be a part of the show is to, if you are on Skype, that's great. Press the 1, and we'll know that you are here to talk to us. The other way is to call into the show at 347-205-9074. Again, 347-205-9074. The other thing that you can do when you call in on that is also hit the 1 key, so that we know that you are wanting to participate in this show today. Okay, let's see, anything else happening? Next week, our guest will be Chris Nelson. She's a life coach, and you heard me do her interview last week. A guided meditation from her. And she will do another one of those next week for you. And if you'd like to be on this show with us, if you know that you are living your purpose and want to share with the world that what that is, how you came to know it, and what others might be able to do to live their purpose, then I would invite you to get a hold of me directly. You can email me at cindy@purposetalkradio.com and let me know what you do. If it's for a friend, feel free to get a hold of us with that too. And the other option for you, if you've got a service or product that you'd like to share with the world and the listeners here on Purpose Talk Radio, please do get a hold of me for that also. If you'd like to know about Purpose Talk Radio in general, like I said, right now we are airing Mondays at noon Pacific Time, 3 p.m. Eastern, and, well, for another week or so, 9 p.m. in the U.K., then it will bounce back to 8 p.m. If you want to know about that, let us know. Take a look at the website at purposetalkradio.com. Sometime in January, maybe even January 1st, we will be changing the time of the show just because, well, that classroom work that I'm taking a part of is going to take precedence, and I'm going to have a class over the time of this show now. So I will have to decide when we'd like to put that. If you'd like to weigh in, when you'd like to hear this show live, again, please send me a message as well to cindy@purposetalkradio.com. So I'm going to bring in our guest here and let us talk a little bit, chat, and see what comes up. Let's see if the system will allow me to do that. Pat, are you there?
Yes, I am.
Okay. Let's see if the system works correctly today. I've got a representative of Log Talk Radio in the chat room with us. And I'm not sure if they're hearing everything or at this point because some of the features are not working. But we'll see how that goes. So let's just talk a little bit here. You have, which we'll discuss a little bit more about the details of it, but you have your own family at this point. So how do you spend Thanksgiving?
I'm sorry, what did you just ask? yeah, I lost half of it.
We have this wonderful Thanksgiving holiday coming up, you know, known for most people as a time for family and gathering. Do you get your family together for the holiday?
I get them together, but it's in a probably a much different way than a lot of people do. My idea of celebrating the holiday is to have my family come when it's the least stress for them. Over the holidays, since I'm divorced, they go to their father's house, and then they're married, so they go to their spouse's family's houses. And then by the time they're through, you know, if they had any more turkey on Thanksgiving, they'd probably grow feathers. So my contention is as soon as you know, if there's something, it might be a week after Thanksgiving, but that's when I have my family get together. I'm not married to the day. I think, you know, Thanksgiving, I'm grateful for them 365 days a year. So if we get together for dinner next, you know, the week following Thanksgiving, I'm happy. And that's how I deal with Thanksgiving with my family.
Of course, we don't celebrate ours on Thanksgiving either. We're going to be doing it on Friday for a similar reason. We've got a doctor in the family, anesthesiologist, and he works on the holiday. Kids are working on holidays, like nephews, so they have it afterwards instead. So I understand that, you know. And I think the whole point of it, again, you know, is just being with family and being able to celebrate and think of all the things that we are grateful for over the year.
The standard kind of joke in our family is about 3 years ago, my favorite thing is to have a turkey sandwich, turkey and cranberry sandwich. So if I don't make a turkey, what I do is I have the kids, I started 3 years ago saying, swipe some turkey from your stepmom. Well, now their stepmother has a plate ready for me.
Cool.
So I get enough turkey and cranberry. So that works. I'll take that.
Well, okay, folks. As I said, we've been talking to Patricia Subject here. Let me tell you a little bit more about her so that we don't just carry on this conversation about the holidays and we get into a little more of our discussion for the day and our topic for the day. So, as you've heard, you know, Pat is a mother of three. Well, you haven't heard exactly what that was, but yes, she has three grown boys with their families of their own as well, and significant others and all that that they work around the holiday. But right now, you know, Pat has rolled through the experience of life and finding purpose at every stage. At 18 years of age, she was a stay-at-home mother with one child when she contracted polio. And that polio left her with needing to use a wheelchair, needing to learn to adapt to an entirely new way of life. It was back in 1972, long before the Americans with Disabilities Act was passed, which, for those who don't know, that required any government organizations to be accessible to people in wheelchairs. And in 1972, and that came through in 79, I believe. So in 72, a lot of places were not accessible to people in wheelchairs. Also at that time, Pat was one of the first cases of polio in Wisconsin in about 10 years and was requiring a number of services of the United Way. So she served on the United Way Speakers Bureau and spoke at 22 different companies in Milwaukee, appearing in numerous newspaper ads, articles, and informational brochures, and did local media interviews. In 1982, Pat, now a single mom of three children, after dealing with divorce, depression, addiction, and cancer scare, she attended UW-Whitewater. And I will say that is where I ultimately met her, but I didn't know a lot of this other stuff that she gave me in the bio today. So during her time there, she received a letter in swimming and participated in wheelchair basketball, football, and bowling. I'm curious about the football in a minute. She served on the Governance Committee for the Disabled and served on various women's groups panels. The 1990s found Pat engaged to a wonderful man, working steadily for the first part of the 90s for a major law firm and then taking the position for the next 15 years at a water utility company, or water utility department, excuse me, as the superintendent dubbed her the Data Maven. And that was here in the Milwaukee metro area. During that time also, Pat pursued acting, singing, performing on stage in film and print. She also did advocacy work with Independence First, which again is another organization in the Milwaukee area that helps folks that are quote-unquote disabled be able to live an independent lifestyle. She was also instrumental in getting a wheelchair scales put in the clinics at Fredert Hospital. And at that point, Fredert was one of the largest hospital facilities in the Milwaukee area. Pat, now in her 60th season of life and still finding purpose and passion for life, she is the editor of the Creative Writing Newsletter produced for residents in U Living Campus, where she currently lives. She also volunteers twice monthly to help at the assisted living campus and doing other community services. Now, to say that the chair has absolutely nothing to do with holding her back would be an understatement. But yet it is a part of her life, and that's part of why I wanted Pat to share with you some of her experiences at this point, but also that no matter what is happening, she is continuing to live her purpose. So again, welcome officially to the show, Pat.
Thank you.
The question that I ask everyone, you've been through a few career changes, but in general, you feel that you are living your purpose on a daily basis, pretty much from your explanation. Was there a time in your life that was a turning point or something that allowed you to realize what your...
That allowed me to realize what? I'm sorry, you broke out.
What your purpose in life was to be. Is there a turning point? Have you been just going along as it happens? You've done a lot of different things here.
At every stage of life, there has been turning points that, just keep me moving along. The divorce moved me along to go to UW-Whitewater. At each stage, there was always something. After although I didn't graduate from UW-Whitewater, I wound up going to a technical college and getting a diploma. After that, it was time to go to work. And I had a major decision was to relinquish custody of my children to their father. And so, I had to make these major decisions at each and every stage. And in so doing, it kept me moving in the direction. One thing I always wanted to do was to sing. And that opportunity came when I was working in Milwaukee, in the water utility, because I went to Unity West Church where we reconnected after not seeing each other since UW-Whitewater and started singing. So, it's like everything just kind of fell into place. And if you get up every day and just choose to face the day to the best of your ability, giving the best that you have at any given minute, I think those opportunities just kind of fall into place. What do you think?
I tend to agree with you. Part of why this show is part of, doing this every single day in the hope that other people will end up being able to do the same thing,
Yeah.
And just sometimes I say they have to be quiet enough to be able to find out what that purpose is. And I'm not real good at that all the time. So I find myself floundering and like, what's next? So I've also bounced around from various things. So to be quiet long enough to listen and hear those of what the next step is really important. I appreciate you sharing that.
I don't think it's floundering so much as a lot of times we have to learn lessons that will help allow us to get to the next stage, don't you think?
True,
every step we take, whether it makes sense or not, normally builds up to something else. Like, if I wouldn't be here doing this newsletter, I wouldn't be probably volunteering over at the independent or the assisted living. And being able to help other people, I think, gives a lot of purpose.
It looks like from your background, that's a lot of what you have been doing all these years.
Mm-hmm.
People and, like I said, there's a piece of me that goes, I know that chair's there, and there's people out there that go, we need to help her and open this door and do all this other stuff. But, that's individualized to some extent, I think, and what I try to remind people is to ask before you just jump in and assume something. So for you, how do you, okay, 18 years old, that's when you, for the polio, you'd be learning to drive, you'd be planning to go on to college, you'd be, like you said, starting, you know, you've got a child. How did that impact your life?
Well, obviously, I wasn't learning how to drive or, you know, going to college at that point. I didn't wind up going to college till I was 29, or learning how to drive, for that matter. I felt very isolated. I felt, you have to remember at that time, first of all, let's say you would go out to a restaurant, most times, if you could get in, they would put you way in the back of the restaurant, saying that you were a fire hazard. Normally, they'd try to hide you behind a potted plant or something somewhere. Mm. It wasn't very easy for my ex-husband either. We'd go out, and at that point in time, none of the bathrooms were accessible. So we'd have to, if I had to use a restroom, you know, we'd have to empty out the women's restroom so that my husband could carry me in so I could go use it. Most places had stairs getting in and out, so I either had to be, you know, pulled up stairs or, you know, it was not, there wasn't a lot that was very easy at all. And trying to be a mother. The perception was that I couldn't possibly take care of children. So I had to constantly, you know, question my own abilities, and I would have to deal with other people's assumptions as to what I was or wasn't capable of. So, I mean, it made life different from somebody else that might have been 18 and had chosen a different path. They might be out learning how to drive, getting ready for college, you know, being relatively carefree. I had to deal with not being able to walk, taking care of my child. I was stuck in the house at one point for like 92 days straight during summer because I couldn't get out, and my husband at that time didn't choose to take me out. So, you know, what you do is you deal with it. That's all there is to it. And then somehow people get put in your path. Like there was a couple that I met through a visiting nurse that told me about wheelchair bowling. They did have that out at the, there's a bowling alley out on Burleigh in Milwaukee. I can't remember the name of it. It's a huge bowling alley.
Available.
You know which one I can't remember the name, but
Polaro.
It's a huge bowl. Okay.
Polaro.
Anyhow, I started bowling, and I took women's state, first place, most improved.
Cool.
But the lady that taught me, her husband was a firefighter, so he would come over and take me down the stairs, and we'd go bowling on Friday nights. So, I mean, I just had to, you know, there were opportunities that presented themselves, and I had to take them as they arose. So I think part of living on purpose is just, you know, I think it was Thoreau said something about success is when opportunity meets preparation. You know, we've got to be prepared when those opportunities present themselves so you can take them.
Right. Exactly. So you became a spokesperson to try to, I guess, in way of advocating for yourself as well as others. How did that come about? Or is that another kind of landed in the, because you had to do it for yourself, it just happened kind of thing.
Once again, it was opportunity. I found that I enjoyed being able to give information that might be beneficial for a lot of people. You know, people would assume that, you know, I didn't want to live or I was unhappy, you know. Granted, I wasn't out dancing for joy that I was in a wheelchair. Okay, don't get me wrong there. But this was my life. And I was happy to be able to live it that way, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So it, when I had the opportunity to do the speaking for the United Way, the United Way made sure that I had, I tried using braces for a while. They helped me with visiting nurses. They sent in a lady to help me learn how to clean the house. You know, so they had provided a lot of services for me, and it was exciting for me to be able to give back. But little did I know that by giving back that I would be giving information for others that were in the same situation to deal with their situation, because there was pictures of how I would do things. They did a video for the United Way that, you know, showed me making dinner and stuff like that. So doing that, I think, gave other people in my situation a chance to see how it's done or that they were not alone, which is mm-hmm. really huge. And then being out at different companies, able-bodied people were allowed to stare. You know what I mean? It was okay. And they could get their questions answered. So because I was able to touch as many people as I did, I think that was helpful.
Okay. So, and here's going to be the strange question for some people, but I might as well ask it too. So how... You can't reach the stove from your chair. Did you modify the kitchen? Did you find, at that point, it wasn't really the adaptive technology that they have with things now. I mean, I've learned a lot about, for instance, blind people. And, you know, again, there's stuff out there that tells them how full their mug is by giving the temperature on the outside or, you know, talking thermometers and stuff like that for them. You know, there's vibrating things for the deaf, both of which I'm familiar with, of course. You know, but, you know, essentially you've got a stove at a certain height. If you're not able to stand up with the braces, you've got to be able to adapt things there, and especially for holidays, as we, you know, as we're starting to talk here. You've got a family that plans to celebrate together. You've got kids that are expecting, you know, Thanksgiving like their friends are and Christmas like their friends do. How do you accommodate that?
Well, let's take, for instance, this last weekend. Most of the family was here. And, you know, I adapt myself to the kitchen and I adapt the kitchen to me. It you know, as much as I can do either way. Well, like I made a ham dinner. Right now what we did was we put in counters that I can work at with, bought some cabinets to make a lower counter so I have a place to prepare meals. You know, I'm in a kitchen now where I can move around. So, you know, like I said, I adapt myself to the kitchen. The stove is going to remain the same height, but I have a stove that has the buttons on the front so I can get at them easier.
Okay.
The sink is going to stay the same. You know, a lot of places, if you try to find a rental place that is totally wheelchair accessible, they're very, very expensive. So I have found that I just have to accommodate myself to what I have. In order to wash dishes, I'm right-handed, so I just have to pull alongside with my right arm, make sure it can get in the sink, and away I go, I do dishes. If I need to reach anything, I take pinchers. I keep everything where I can get at it. In a lot of places, their countertops are all clear. In my home, that's not the case. Anything I need to be able to get at is going to either be out on top of a countertop or it's going to be in a drawer that I can reach. So you adapt the kitchen to the best of your ability, and you adapt yourself to what is in the kitchen. It's a two-way street.
Yeah.
And the kids always help out.
You got what you use.
The one major ingredient in all of life for everybody is keep your sense of humor. Just keep your sense of humor in everything, because, you know, that's the one thing I have found has always saved me. If I can find some humor in some, you know, a disaster that I think is happening, you know, I look at it and go, okay, this is just silly. And I'll burst out laughing and find an answer.
Okay. Do you have some examples of that? Anything recent?
Oh, sure. I went and bought a watermelon one time and carried it on my lap. I had to carry it from the parking structure, and I had put a bag of groceries on top of the watermelon on top of my lap and carried it up to my apartment. And instead of putting the grocery bag down and setting the watermelon up on the countertop, I started taking groceries out of this bag, and there was a 2-liter bottle of Diet Coke, and I set it on this one counter next to the refrigerator. And as I was setting something else down, the watermelon slid off my lap. So I took, I'm sitting there looking at this watermelon going, okay, now how am I going to get this off the floor? Because it was like 9 o'clock at night. And I thought, well, let me see if, you know, my neighbor friend was home. Well, she wasn't available. Then I thought, okay, well, let me go see if I can find anybody at home, because I lived in an apartment complex. So I checked at every door on 3 floors in this apartment complex and didn't hear any signs of life coming out of any of them. So I went back to the apartment. I went, I got to get this thing off the floor. Well, maybe if I, you know, cut this watermelon in half while it's on the floor, I can, like, pierce it with the knife and pick it up. Because I had tried using my footrest. I tried using a transfer board. Nothing worked. So, okay, I hacked this poor watermelon on the floor in half, stabbed it with the knife, and got it halfway up the door, and it started to slip again. So I quick grabbed the watermelon, and with that, the knife went backwards into the diet soda, and I had diet soda squirting all over the kitchen, all over me, all over everything. So I got the watermelon, sat on the counter, got the soda bottle in the sink, and picked up the other. I had to cut the other half in half again in order to get it up off the floor. But I got everything cleaned up, and you know, the watermelon stored in the refrigerator. Granted, I swore a bit while this was happening, but afterwards I just sat there and went, this is, you know, I had to be hysterical watching me stabbing a diet soda bottle with soda going all over the place and half a watermelon on the floor. And for about 2 weeks afterwards, I couldn't get all the stickiness off the floor. So anybody who walked in my kitchen just kind of made sticky noises. And my son told me if I didn't get the watermelon juice off the floor, he's probably going to wind up being stuck in there forever. So, I mean, what are you going to do? Get upset? Nah, it was funny. I got it taken care of.
I'm amazed the watermelon didn't hit the floor and splatter all over the place. that's usually what would happen to me, and I'm, well... I was going to say normally able, but no, I'm just a klutz. So for me, it would, you know, no, I won't receive that energy. I apologize, as I put out to everybody, word things positively. I have been known to be a klutz, and things like that would, yeah, it would be all over the floor. It would not even be edible when I got done with it, because it would be smashed into a bunch of pieces. So I'm pretty impressed with the ingenuity that you use to do that.
Well, my son said the next time that happened, to just leave the watermelon on the floor. He'd come over the next day, but nah.
Yeah, you hope it doesn't happen next time. So the other part of adaptability, okay, you know, you weren't driving an 18, but obviously we've mentioned you are driving now. You had kids to transport. You had a life to continue and get to work. And, yes, in Milwaukee we have a bus system, but at that stage of the game they weren't even accessible. You know, now we have ramps that drop down and open up and allow chairs to get on. But back in the 70s, that didn't happen. So you said, you know, your husband at that point ended up carrying you. What other options did you have for you to get around when he wasn't around anymore?
There was van services. Originally I used a specialized van service, but it was a rather involved process getting those services. You had to, you know, apply a lot. Yeah, I don't remember way back. I do remember getting my driver's license and trying to continue to afford a car, because when I gave up custody of my kids and went to work, I wound up paying child support, and I was only working as a secretary. So I had to work a couple jobs in order to take care of myself and take, you know, do what I was supposed to do for my kids. And so I've always had a car. I haven't had a van. And in the car, I would have to get in on the passenger side and pull the chair in behind the passenger seat. I could only have a two-door. And it had to be an automatic transmission. And then I would slide across the seat into the driver's side. At one point, when I couldn't afford a car and I was working, I was taking the van service, and the driver wasn't paying attention one night and jumped a curb, and I got thrown off the bench and broke my right femur. So I wound up in the hospital, and I just decided I would never take one of those vans again. So I wound up getting a car, but it was it was just a small car. It had bucket seats, and I had to jump over the, it had a stick shift on the column. So I would have to get my legs over that and get in the driver's seat, but I still had to come in the passenger seat. Vans and things are very expensive. You could only get full size ones with really big ramps and things. Well, nowadays you can get a minivan and have a ramp that just kind of drops out, not lifts you up and down. You roll up a ramp to get into the van. Mm-hmm. And I ultimately have been able to get one of those. But back in the day, you either used the van service or you didn't go anywhere. Those were your options.
Mm-hmm. Were the kids able to go with? Or how did they get from place to place then?
Well, at UW-Whitewater, I used to take the van to and from classes. And when I first came up to Whitewater, I had gotten an old used car. It was, I can't remember the make. It was like a GTO. It had 18-inch slick wheels on it, and, you know, it was falling apart. But it got me from, I lived in Heartland, and it got me from Heartland to UW-Whitewater, and that's all I needed. And I kept it for a while afterwards, but since it was so old, it was falling apart, and when it went, I couldn't afford another car. But Whitewater was small enough I could push from one end to the other. So I would take my kids and I would walk wherever we needed to go there. But otherwise, they would ride with me on the van service.
Okay. But, you know, Whitewater was this farm community, and, you know, things were, the campus was fairly close together, but the rest of the city was pretty well spread out at that time. There wasn't a lot of, you know, the grocery store wasn't next door to the hardware store and next door to the church and next door, you know, it was a farm community. They spread things out a bit, and they had space in between and fields in between and everything else. So, y'all got your exercise.
But there were a lot of people that had physical disabilities that lived there, too, because UW-Whitewater was like the school for people with disabilities to go to. So it wasn't a strange thing to see somebody in a wheelchair pushing home with a grocery cart, and then you'd take it back to the sentry on Main Street, or you saw a lot of people that were in chairs downtown, or you know, at the armory or wherever. So it wasn't uncommon.
And that armory, I think, was one of the, if I recall, and one of the articles I wrote at that point was when the Americans with Disabilities was passed. Well, it was after that, because I was there from 83 to 87. And the post office still was not accessible. The library was barely accessible. And I think the armory was really the only government building in town that was quote-unquote accessible.
It was a good push, let's say, from Williams Center back to Roseman Hall. And during winter, I would push that, and I had long hair, and my braid would freeze. Everybody's braid was freezing.
That's right, yep.
So I didn't feel all alone. The only difficulty there is if you had a class afterwards, you know, you're trying to take notes and your braid's defrosting on your ink writing and it would, like, smear all over the place. But
yeah, there weren't computers then to be taking your notes like there are now.
So.
Okay. So how did the Americans with Disabilities Act change that for you? Did it change anything for you?
How did what change what? I'm sorry, you broke up.
Yeah, the Americans with Disabilities Act changed anything for you? I mean, I know there were two phases of it. There was one in 79, there was another one in 83. You know, did they make any changes for your life or not?
I'm not sure how much the ADA changed my life in that, okay, curb cuts are great, handicapped parking spaces are great. You know, these are all things that didn't exist before the ADA was passed. I can go more places now. There's still issues with, not all new construction gets like push button doors and stuff, and that makes it difficult because even though a door might not be real heavy, it's still difficult to open up a door while you're in a chair and have to push backwards and then forwards, you know, especially if you have anything on your lap. The hardest thing for me to get used to is when people say things like, you know, you shouldn't expect this to be done. Well, in public places, I do. I worked a good 35 to 40 years and paid taxes. If it's a public building, yeah, I expect to be able to get in it. And to not have to be set up so that I can get in just kind of frustrates me a little bit. You still have the perceptions of, for instance, with the scales at the at Frederick Memorial Hospital. I had been seeing a doctor in the OBGYN clinic, and I just wanted to get weighed, and nobody could find a scale for me to get weighed on. I would have had to been admitted. And so I was talking to the head of the department, and the attitude was like, you shouldn't expect special equipment. And the truth of the matter is what exists now is special equipment. It only weighs people that are walking. Whereas I explained, if you have a wheelchair scale, everybody can use it. So I'm not asking for anything special. What you have is specialized equipment. And trying to get that idea to set in so that people can see that sometimes is difficult. ABA, what's that?
That is a good point, that very often things out there, out in the world, are not accessible to folks with differing abilities, but yet with the adaptive equipment, those who are traditionally abled can use the adaptive equipment.
Mm-hmm.
Something we don't think about very often.
Well, IKEA just came out with a new with a desk. These desks have been around for a while, mostly for people in architecture or people who do airbrushing, stuff like that. But they're desks that are motorized so that you can lift them up so you can stand up.
Mm-hmm.
When I was working, I had to wait, I think it was like 5 or 6 years before they got me an adjustable desk. And at that point, it wasn't motorized. They just put it at a set level. But it was set for me so that I wasn't all hunched over at the computer. And everybody was, all irritated because I had to have something special. Once again, it's not special. What you have is special. It only serves certain people. What I'm asking for is something that will serve everybody. Stairs are special. They only serve people that can walk. Ramps serve everybody. So, it's just a different way of looking at things.
Okay. Well, I think people get a general idea. A very good idea as to, what, things that have occurred for you over the years. I know you specifically want to talk about, getting through the holidays and, still serving your purpose, no matter able-bodied, disabled, whatever. So I'd like to maybe switch gears unless there was something else that you wanted to make sure we know on this part of the topic.
Well, in regard to holidays,
come a little closer to your phone. Come a little closer to your phone. We're starting to lose you a little bit.
What was that again? I'm sorry.
Exactly. I need you to come back to your phone. It sounded like you're drifting away from your phone a little bit.
Okay. Is this good?
A little bit better. Yeah.
Okay. Did you want me to continue?
Yes.
Okay. Well, there's a few things. What you need to remember to roll through the holidays easily is just what everybody needs to remember.
First of all, have a sense of humor. Have a sense of humor.
I'm getting feedback real bad, and I don't know why. Hello?
Okay.
Yeah. Did you want me to keep going? I'm sorry. It's just we keep breaking up. No, I was just saying make sure you keep a sense of humor. Pace yourself. do what you can do. Don't do what you think everybody else expects of you. Ask for help when you need it. Decline help when it's being foisted upon you. And you know, I had that happen once when I was at work. We were doing a party, and I was supposed to be setting up the silverware, and evidently I wasn't moving fast enough for one of the ladies in the group, and she went to grab the napkins and the silverware out of my hands, and I told her not to do it. I said, please stop. That's not very nice. You have to, you know, you have to speak up for yourself. You don't have to be mean. But the biggest, the most important thing is just enjoy the people around you, enjoy your family, and don't let anything come between you and the enjoyment of the season.
It makes a lot of sense.
So, I don't think that has to do totally with people in wheelchairs. It has to do with all humans.
Nope. Exactly. Exactly. I know, you know, even, you know, that comes with kids or adults, especially, you know, let people do things as they need to, want to, are able to. You know, not everybody folds the napkins the way Aunt Susie did two generations ago. And guess what? May not ever look like Aunt Susie's napkins again. The kids may not exactly line up the silverware on the correct side. You know what? They want to help. They really do. Let them help. Let them do what they are capable of doing.
Yeah, I think people forget we all need a sense of accomplishment, a sense of participation.
Right.
Just enjoy. Nothing works better than a hug.
There you go. There you go. Yeah, the stress of the holidays, sometimes we forget that.
Yeah.
That we're running around and, you know, it's supposed to be a family time and everybody's yelling, you know, get out of my kitchen or come in and eat or turn off the TV or get away from the video games or the, you know, whatever, because they want this perfect day. And it's not always going to be perfect in everybody's eyes. If we can have a sense of it in a piece of it being perfect in everybody's eyes, we'll be better off. I hear what you're saying, and I definitely appreciate that.
I actually look forward to the holidays when they happen. Like I said, here they never happen on the day.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But when they do happen, I have my family around me, and you know, we just kind of keep it real.
Right. Well, I know there was something, too, that you wanted to share with us as one of your favorite quotes and stories for this time of the year. Do you have that available in front of you?
Would you like me to read it, or did you want to?
Be my guest. Yours to share.
Oh, one of my favorite books has always been The Velveteen Rabbit. And there's a part in there when the skin horse is talking to the velveteen rabbit, and the velveteen rabbit wants to know what real is. And the skin horse says, "Real isn't how you are made," said the skin horse. "It's a thing that happens to you when a child loves you for a long, long time, not just to play with, but really loves you. Then you become real." "Does it hurt?" asked the rabbit. "Sometimes," said the skin horse, for he was always truthful. "When you are real, you don't mind being hurt." "Does it happen all at once, like being wound up?" he asked, "or bit by bit?" "It doesn't happen all at once," said the skin horse. "You become. It takes a long time. That's why it doesn't happen often to people who break easily or have sharp edges or who have to be carefully kept. Generally, by the time you're real, most of your hair has been loved off and your eyes drop out and you get loose in the joints and very shabby. But these things don't matter at all, because once you are real, you can't be ugly. Marjorie Williams, The Velveteen Rabbit.
Mm. Yeah. We all wish we could have our heads rubbed and our shoulders rubbed and all of that to love on enough to be missing all the hair on our head. You know, it is a fun
book. I hope everybody has a happy holiday.
I don't know. Is there anything else that you specifically wanted to share with us today?
No.
Okay. Well, I'd like to also leave folks with an affirmation. Don't know if you have one you would like to share, or you'd like me to create one from what you've had to say today.
I'm sorry, it's really hard to hear you.
I said, I don't know if you'd like to share with us an affirmation that you like, or if you'd like me to create one from what I've heard you share with us today.
Well, I would like you to let's create one.
Okay. Well, how about I am looking right at your first statement of how to enjoy the holidays. And I can say, well, go cut and paste, which is, I am rolling through the holidays with a sense of humor.
Okay.
How does that fit with you? Okay. So the affirmation being, I am rolling through the holidays with a sense of humor. Cool.
I am willing to roll through the holidays with a sense of humor. There we go.
All right. In case anybody that's looking for that affirmation, it is in the thread in the Purpose Talk Radio Conversations Facebook group. Again, please come over there and join us. If there's any questions that you have for Pat or anything else you would like to have brought up over there or want to elaborate on, please do that. Otherwise, I'll give you about 3 more minutes here to call in if you have any questions. And you can do that at 347-205-9074. Again, 347-205-9074. Let's see. Something else that came to my mind to ask you, and it apparently went out quite as quickly. Oh, there we go. What is your next plan, your next step, your next adventure in life? Is there one that you have planned?
I'm really sorry. You keep breaking up on me.
I said, is there something that you have planned for yourself?
Oh, for myself?
At this point in life. Yep. To dream. What's your next dream? What's your next adventure? What's your plan to do next?
The next adventure is being at, and in this season of my life, living in senior living, we're doing Thanksgiving with a group of ladies that live on the same floor as I do. We're going to do that on Friday. We're ordering out, and I'm going to go pick it up, and we're just going to sit down and enjoy each other's company and just have a little meal together, and hopefully we'll have a little sing-along afterwards. So that's my next excitement, too, is one of the ladies here has written a book, a children's book, and she's 80 years old, and she wants to turn it into a book. It's a story that she's always wanted to turn into a book. So she and I are going to sit down, and I'm going to try and figure out, you know, I one of those book programs that you can go and make your own book.
Go to CreateSpace. That's the best one I can suggest to you.
The only thing is I need to find illustrators for it. But other than that, I've never done a book before. I figured, okay, that's something cool to start.
Okay.
You know, whatever comes along, I'm going to be volunteering at the senior center to make phone calls once a day. You know, it's wherever you are, you got to do whatever it is you can.
Mm-hmm.
So that's what's next on on the horizon.
Well, if there is anyone who would like to contact you that might be interested in illustrating this book, or have any other questions for you, is there any information you'd like to give out about how to contact you, or would you just like it done through Facebook? What would you like?
Basically, I can be reached through Facebook very easily.
Okay. And that would be at?
Well, just Patricia Subcheck. Oh, actually, it'd be at Sing For You 1954 is what my...
Okay. And for those who are listening via computer or phone, that's spelled S-O-B-C-Z-Y-K. Again, it's Patricia, S-O-B-C-Z-Y-K. And you can find her there on Facebook. I have tagged her on the thread in the conversations page, or you can go through, email me if you can't connect with her at cindy@purposetalkradio.com, and that should help as well. Alrighty. Well, I appreciate your time with us today.
And well, thank you for
the wonderful adventures that you have in your life, and I wish you the best with that book and anything else that you have going on up the road here.
Nope, that's it. I think that's enough.
Well, happy Thanksgiving to you and your family. And check in on the Purpose Talk Radio Conversations group and see if through the week and see if anybody has any other comments or questions for you. I'd appreciate that.
Will do. And, you know, happy holidays to you and everyone else, too.
Thank you. We'll put you back on hold as I wrap up the show here.
Okay.
Yeah. And that was Patricia Subcheck talking to us today about wheeling or rolling through purpose during the holidays. I changed it to wheeling. I apologize. I guess she wanted it rolling through. At this point, you know, she gave us some very good pointers, and that's for people that other people think can't do, or those who think they can. And the main thing is basically to have a sense of humor. You know, do what you can and not what others expect of you. Accept help when you need it. Decline it when they try to force it on you. And basically enjoy the people around you. So those were her main tips. And she has been able to advocate for herself and for others through the years to be able to get some facilities, some changes of venues, scales for wheelchairs put into the hospital out here in the Milwaukee area, and many other things. She said if you would like to reach her and have any other questions, comments, issues, please put it on Purpose Talk Radio Conversations Facebook page or contact her directly through Facebook. We'd be happy to pass on any of that information. Next week, as I mentioned, our guest will be Chris Nelson, who is a life coach, also out here in the Milwaukee area. I'm getting a lot of Milwaukee guests, and that's wonderful because I get to interact with people directly that way. But if anyone else would like to speak on their purpose and what, how they came to know what it is, please do send me an email. Or jump on our website at purposetalkradio.com. That's P-U-R-P-O-S-E talkradio.com. My email is cindy@purposetalkradio.com. In addition to that, as the holidays come up, I'll be letting you know when else we will be changing the show. So if you have some input on that, I gladly take that. You know, we have about 200 listeners these days that do listen archived, and that's much appreciated. I thank you all for being a part of following this show. But if there's a day when maybe you could participate more in a conversation and participate in a live, please feel free to send me a message on that and let me know what might work for you. But right now we do air Mondays at noon Pacific time, 3 p.m. Eastern, and 9 p.m. in the U.K., soon to be 8 p.m. in the U.K., back on as they go into daylight savings time at the end of the month. Also, if you have a product or service you'd like to share with our wonderful audience that you think might help them to live their purpose, please get a hold of me for that as well. We do have a couple of marketing packages that will allow you to do that directly as well. Please get a hold of, check out our website, our Facebook page, like the page, Purpose Talk Radio, join the Facebook group, whatever you'd like to do as far as living your purpose and being a part of these conversations. I thank you for being a part of it. For those of you in the United States, I wish you a very happy and blessed Thanksgiving and family time. Hopefully you get some time off to be able to share with your families. If not, hopefully you make the time that you need to be able to do that as well. And having said that, as I close the show, this opening and closing song is called I Am Who I Am. It is by the group True Trinity, and it can be found at TrueTrinity.com, TrueTrinity.com. It is sung by Jillian Clark, as co-written by Jillian, Rachel Martinez, and myself as True Trinity. So as we close today, in addition to being thankful for all of you being here and joining me each and every week for the past year plus and following Purpose Talk Radio for approximately 3 years now, we do wish you all soul blessings.
I am me, I am who I am, I am who I'm gonna be. Walking in the spirit moment by moment, fulfilling my own destiny. I am me, I am who I am, I am who I'm gonna be. Walking in the spirit moment by moment, fulfilling my own destiny. Walking in the spirit moment by moment, fulfilling my own destiny. Walking in the spirit moment by moment, fulfilling my own destiny.